Welcome to Torah Melacha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel Perek Tazayin, Chapter 16. Perek Tazayin is an exceptionally long perek which spans 63 psukim. This shir will be longer than others, and I will still be skipping some of its main ideas. Yechezkel's words are very evocative, so I encourage you to read the whole perek in either Hebrew or English to fully capture what he is saying. Aside from being long, the theme and content is also challenging emotionally and linguistically. It has its own name in the Gemara. It's called Parshas Tochecha, the section of rebuke, as it is particularly harsh and detailed in its description of the people's service of Avodah Zarah. It is so harsh that the Gemara in Megillah says it should not be used as a Haftorah. In the times of the Gemara, men would choose Prakim of Tanakh to read as a Haftorah. One person chose to read this section specifically. Reb Eliezer listened and then doubted his halachic lineage. After further examination, as it turns out, they found that this man was indeed a mamzer. Only Teimanim read from this chapter, and they only quote the first quarter of the perek that is positive. This perek is written as an allegory and has four sections. In the first section, there is a mashal of a young girl who is abandoned at birth. The narrator becomes her savior. He cleans her while everyone else ignores her. Years later, when she matures, he marries her and showers her with luxuries. In the next section of the perek, rather than being grateful and reciprocating this love, the wife prostitutes herself to men and uses the gifts of her husband for illicit activities. She even sacrifices her own children in her manic pursuit of sin and immorality. At this point, the husband rejects her, and the men who she had relationships with torment her. In the third section of the perek, the Navi compares the Jewish people to others in Israel who were punished, such as Sodom and Shomron, and says that these other locales are considered innocent in comparison to the sins of Yehuda. Finally, the perek concludes with the message that the goals of the punishment is for Yehuda to feel shame, so they will do tshuva and come close to Hashem. The meaning of the allegory is quite clear. The young girls represent Bnei Israel. Her savior and later husband is Hashem. The time where she is abandoned at birth refers to the time of slavery in Egypt. Then comes the time of love, the Eis Dodim, the marriage which happens at Yetzias Mitzrayim, continuing through to the acceptance of the Torah at Har Sinai. The nation is then showered with gifts of wealth and the lands of Israel and becomes more respected through the times of Shlomo. Then came the time of national infidelity, where the Jewish people worship every manner of idols. In this parak, I'd like to focus on the Nimshal, the allegory, while learning the Psukim. In Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Hashem tells the Navi to tell Yehuda how terribly they behaved. Ben Adam, hoda es Yerushalayim es tov aseha. Son of man, make known to Yerushalayim her abominations. Yechezkel will use a graphic allegorical story of a young girl to inform Yerushalayim of its sin. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Mechorosayach umlodesayach me'eretz haknani, avicha emori ve'imech chitis. Your origin and your birthplace is the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amori, and your mother was a Chiti. This girl, who represents the Jewish people in Yerushalayim, can trace her lineage back to the Canaanite, to the nations who are living there. Like this girl, the Jews in Egypt were foreigners, so no one is going to care about her when she is suffering. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, continues telling us what happened when this baby was born. B'yom huledes osach lo charas sarech. On the day you were born, your umbilical cord wasn't cut. Ubamayim lo ruchatz lemishi, you weren't washed in water for cleansing. Vahamlech lo humlacht, vahachtel lo chultalt, you were not salted at all, nor were you swaddled. The narrator comes across a helpless newborn lying in filth. After childbirth, midwives do four things for children. They cut the umbilical cord, they wash them, they salt their skin to toughen it, and then they swaddle the baby to straighten its limbs. The mashal represents the Jewish people who, after the death of Yosef in Mitzrayim, were completely dependent on the Mitzrayim for everything they needed. This led to the circumstances of them being enslaved with no one having pity on them. The narrator describes what he saw, which is a famous verse we say at both the Bris Milah and at the Seder. Ve'avar alayach ve'areich misbosesses b'demayach, and when I passed over you, I saw you wallowing in your blood. And I said to you, by your blood live, by your blood live. Who was talking to the nation here in the Nimshal? The Radak says Hashem sent Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe with a message to inspire and direct the Jewish people. At the time, they were caked with mud, and they never had time to clean themselves like the baby in our Mashal. The Egyptians thought they were hurting the Jews through their torture. In fact, the torment caused the Jews to flourish and live, by your blood you will live. An alternate nimshal is that Hashem saw us completely vulnerable with no reason to be saved. To give us merits that would allow our salvation, Hashem gave us two different sets of blood, the merit of the blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of the Bris Milah that was done at the end of Galus to save them. These two acts of self-sacrifice by the Jewish people in Mitzrayim made them become worthy to become the nation of Hashem. The next pasuk traces what happens next to the baby girl. She grows up and reaches maturity. This pasuk is also recited at the Pesach Seder. Rivava ketzemach hasadin nusatich, batir bi v'tigdali v'tovoi ba'adi adayim shadayim nichonu v'sarech timeach. And I made you increase like the growth of the field, and you increased and grew up, and you became an excellent blue beauty. Your breasts were fashioned and your hair was grown. Meaning, she came to physical maturity. Vat erom ve'arya, yet you were naked and bare. Which means that the girl was clothed in the rags that didn't fully cover the matured girl appropriately. The mashal is that this baby matures into a beautiful woman, though she is still neglected. The nimshal is that Bnei Yisrael went from a nation of 70 to a nation of 600,000. Their leaders Moshe and Aaron, the two leaders, the pair, fed the entire world with words of Torah. Despite their growth, this nation was still unclothed in some sense, as they did not have Torah and mitzvos, which are the clothing of the soul. The next few psukim express Hashem's love and connection that continued to grow. Vavar alayach ve'ereich mehine itech es dodim. And I passed over you when I saw, and behold, it was the time of love. The nimshal of this pasuk is that Hashem passed over Moshe at the burning bush, and it was time for the geula, the salvation to come. It was a time of love when we became Hashem's nation. Rather than being naked, we had a mitzvah milah. Hashem swore to us that we would be his nation, and we entered a bris like the woman entered a marriage contract when she married the narrator. Often, a benefactor like this will take advantage of his having saved the woman and then will treat her poorly after marriage. This is not the case here. Psukim Tester Yudalid, verses 9 through 14, continue that the narrator cleanses his new wife from her filth and gives her everything her heart could want, perfumes, expensive clothing, jewelry, and furniture. Chazal say that there was a total of 13 gifts listed that correspond to the gifts Hashem gave to the Jewish people, which included the Mishkan, the Clouds of Glory, and the Luchos. V'ta'adi zahav v'chasef u'malboshech sheish v'meshi v'rigma. You dressed yourself with gold and silver, and your clothes were made from fine linen, silk, and woven work. Solas u'dvash v'shemen achalt. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. V'tifi b'me'od me'od v'tzitzlechi l'melucha. And you became very, very beautiful, and you were ready for royalty. Pasuk Gimel tells us how this treatment affected the young bride. She dresses herself with nobility, as befits someone with her new status. Some brides don't appreciate the gifts of their spouse. This bride continued to wear and use these new gifts appropriately. The nimshal is that Bnei Yisrael also chose to act with dignity, so the Shekhinah could dwell in their midst. They entered Eretz Yisrael, a land flowing with milk and honey, until they had a successful monarchy with David and Shlomo. In the mashal, the bride's reputation grew. The nimshal is that the reputation of the Jewish people as a just and holy nation grew beyond the borders of Eretz Yisrael to other areas. Unfortunately, at this point in Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, the bride changes her behavior. For the next 19 psukim, we hear about her shocking immorality and infidelity. The psukim describe how she uses her husband's gifts to be unfaithful and the depravity of her behavior as she looks to be adulterous at every opportunity. These shocking descriptions are meant as a parable for the extent of the idol worship that the Jewish nation engaged in soon after the reign of David and Shlomo. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, V'tiftachi b'yafiech v'tazni al shmech. You trusted in your beauty and you are a harlot because of your reputation. V'teshbechi es taznuseayech al kol over lo yehi. And you poured your harlotry to everyone who passed. His it was. The bride forgot that she had been given so many gifts and felt her beauty was dependent on herself alone. She began to seduce men at every opportunity so they couldn't stop thinking about her. The nimshal is that Bnei Yisrael began to feel confident in their spirituality and fame and felt that no matter what they did, Hashem would never abandon them. In the next few psukim, starting in Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, the woman now takes her husband's gift, his clothing, jewels, and quality food, and uses them for infidelity. In the mashal, the woman takes the garments her husband gave her and uses them to attract men. This parallels what the Jews did. They took the gold and the silver Hashem gave them as gifts and built bamos and temples in public for their avodah zarah. Starting in Pasuk Chav, verse 20, the infidelity takes a disturbing and very violent turn. Vatikhi es banayach vespinosayach asher yalagt li, vatizbachim lahem le'echol. You took your sons and your daughters, whom you bore for me, and you sacrificed them to be devoured. Pasuk Chav Aleph, verse 21, vatishchati es banai, and you slaughtered my children. The woman was willing to sacrifice her children to satisfy her insatiable lustful desires. The nimshal for this behavior is that during this time, people performed human sacrifice with their own children to placate the gods. The pasuk emphasizes that Hashem calls them my children. The Midrash tells us that during this time period, a father would allow one of his children to study Torah. It would be that child specifically, the one who is devoted to Hashem, that he would choose to sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, to the Molech. The next pasuk, Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, expresses how much serving idols showed a lack of gratitude and a lack of thought. It tells us that she didn't remember her days of youth when she was naked and was rolling around in her filth. This woman ignored how she was saved and was instead unfaithful. She didn't bother to reflect on why she was doing what she was doing and how she could act differently. Similarly, the Jewish people ignored the miracles that were done for them in Mitzrayim and kept serving idols without thought. The psukim continue describing the frequency, public nature, and crudeness of how the woman prostituted herself. From Pasuk Chav Vav through Pasuk Chav Tes, verses 27 to 29, it lists all the neighboring countries where the woman was promiscuous, but that she never felt satisfied from her promiscuity. She attracted men from Mitzrayim to the Plishtim, from Asher to the Kazdim. The allegorical meaning of the verses is that the Jewish people experimented with all of the idols of the world, but they never filled the need they were looking for. The Das Sofrim, quoting Targum Yonasan, tells us that this lack of fulfillment came from their inadequate Torah study. Because they didn't study Torah, they felt empty, and they couldn't appreciate the distinction between the divine and the secular. This feeling of emptiness sent them searching, which led them to idol worship. Pasuk Lamed continues with how depraved this woman acts and how her behavior doesn't reflect norms. Even a harlot expects payment, but this woman just wanted to satisfy her lust. Similarly, the Jewish people did not serve idols for money. They wanted a connection with something greater themselves and looked for it in the wrong place. Pasuk Lamed Hei, verse 35, begins the third section of the parak, when the narrator/husband begins to exact revenge on his faithless wife for what she has done and for the sacrifice of their children. He gathers all her lovers with whom she had any form of relationship, whether it was business, love, or hate. V'gilesi ervasech aleihem, v'ra'u eskol ervasech. I will uncover your nakedness to them, and they will see all of your nakedness. In the mashal, the husband is gathering the men against his wife. In the nimshal, Hashem gathers all the nations of the world to punish Bnei Israel. These nations will hate the Jewish people once they see its flaws. The psukim continue with that the woman will be subject to shame, mob rule, and death from the men she sought out. There is a hopeful message contained in this message of destruction. V'hishpatich mizona. I will cause you to stop from being a harlot. After the punishments, this woman would have been reformed. Likewise, the Jewish people will once again be loyal to Hashem. The desire for Avodah Zarah was removed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. The psukim tell us that the other nations will look on in horror at what happens to this woman, just as the nations of the world are shocked by what happens to the Jewish people. They will have a pithy saying about her. Pasuk Mem Dalet, verse 44, Ki ima bita, like mother, like daughter. The explanation is that the other nations will look at Israel and say that her behavior is reminiscent of the behavior of Canaan, the land where the nation descends from before Avram and Sarah. In Pasuk Mem Hei, verse 45, the Navi continues this theme and will compare Israel with the other nations in the area who are famous for their depravity. Imchen chitis va'avichen amori. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. The Jewish people acted like the Canaanim who were kicked out of the lands of Israel because of their behavior. The Pasuk then compares them in Psukim Mem Vav through Nun Beis, 46 through 52, to two particular nations who are known to be evil. Shomron to their left, which is the north, and Sodom to the right, which is to the south. The nation of Shomron in the north was larger and lasted for 250 years, while the nation of Yehuda lasted an additional 130 years. Sodom, which lay to the south, existed over 1,000 years before and was destroyed for its moral decisions. Though these two nations were evil, and according to Pasuk Mem Zion, verse 47, Israel was dissimilar to them as they still believed in Hashem, nonetheless, Israel found a new distinction. Vatishchsi mehem b'chol drachayach, and you were more corrupt than them in all of your ways. The Jewish nation had gotten the Torah so it could be held to a higher standard. Although Sodom and Shomron were objectively worse, Yehuda was more corrupted because of what they could have achieved. In Pasuk Nun Gimel, Hashem promises that the nation of Sodom and Shomron will be returned to Israel in the future. This has not happened yet and will take place in Messianic times. The return of Sodom means that the land will be rehabilitated from its current state of barrenness and destruction. The punishments conclude in Pasuk Nun Tes, verse 59, with these words, V'asisi osach kasher asis, I will deal with you as you have done. Hashem will treat us as we treated him. Our punishments will be midah keneged midah, measure for measure, for our lack of gratitude and for infidelity to Hashem when we were given so many gifts. Beginning in Pasuk Samach, verse 60, it discusses that the punishments and rejections of the Jewish people will not be forever. They will do tshuva when they begin to feel shame for their behavior. Pasuk Samach Aleph, verse 61, is Zachart es drachayach v'nechlamt. You will remember your ways and you will be ashamed. When the Jewish people express shame over their behavior that was done in the past, they will be ready to build the future. This shame is constructive rather than the destructive shame which focuses just on that the person is bad. Here they are recognizing that their way was bad and they will be ashamed of how they acted. They will recognize that they were ungrateful and that their behavior led them to exile. V'akimosi ani es brisi itach v'yadat ki ani Hashem. And I will establish my covenant with you, and you will know that I am Hashem. After these events, Bnei Yisrael will know that Hashem is trustworthy in all of his promises. Pasuk Samach Gimel, verse 63. The parak ends with the goal for this mashal and all the events that have occurred. Laman tiskri v'boshd, v'lo yelach od pischon peh mipnei chlimasech, v'chafri lach l'chol asher asis. So you will remember and feel shame and have no more excuses because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done. Once Hashem fulfills his bris with Bnei Yisrael when they are redeemed, they will remember with shame and embarrassment how they were unfaithful with the gifts that they had gotten before. This will stop them from having an excuse to question the extent of the punishment they suffered in Galus. In this parak, we learned a shocking mashal about a foundling who was saved and then married her savior. Her ingratitude led her to be promiscuous in an extreme fashion. The Jewish people embodied these traits by serving idols to an extreme degree and acted like the evil nations around them. Their horrific punishments were just and were a tool for them to recognize how they should have behaved. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.